Patrick, Eric is asking if the phone instructions are same for this connect this Trigon.
Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to type a response, but they are. They should be. It's part of the exact same sequence as. So the reservation was made for multiple meetings. So it's part of the same sequence and should actually be the same.
Thanks.
I really like Zoom for a lot of things, but I must admit I find the chat very confusing. Okay. We're 5 minutes after. I realize that since the connection instructions weren't there, it might actually be causing a few problems. Nevertheless, I do want to sort of kick this off. As I mentioned already, for anyone who wasn't on the phone when I did, I have to step away in about 5 minutes, but Brian O'Reilly will take over chairing at that point and go through the call. We're going to follow the published agenda, which I think is up to date. I'll try and, I see David joined. David, are you in a place to chair? Just since Brian might be presenting? Or you look like you're on your phone, so you may not be able to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm also, everybody's underway. I won't be able to chair, but if not, I think Brian would be fine. Sorry.
That's fine. That's great. No, that's good. I just wanted to double check since I saw you. Okay, very good. Let's start. The first item is, I just in terms of announcements, Brad, do you want to just make a bit of an announcement related to the survey from NASA? Brad looks like he might not be connected. Okay, if you go to the agenda, there should be a link in the announcement section. NASA has been sending around this survey to gather information related to multi-messenger and also transient astronomy in general, I think. So Monty and Brad asked me to draw everyone's attention to it and encourage people to fill it out. It shouldn't take too long. I think I've ordered 10 minutes is their estimation. And it would be incredibly useful in terms of informing next steps for them. So it's there in the agenda. So please, you should have actually seen an email over the OpenLVM list as well. But please just take a few minutes and fill it out. It'll help to improve things for us in terms of various aspects of communication and interconnection. Okay. So anyone else got any announcements?
I think Brad was trying to say something.
He looks like he's muted, though. His phone's totally off or something. Let me try unmuting him. Brad, you're unmuted. Try speaking now.
Can you guys hear me now?
We sure can.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries. Go ahead.
Patrick, you gave a great summary. This is something that NASA headquarters has instituted. They want to take a comprehensive look at the portfolio of current NASA missions, future capabilities. This is a really, I think, important opportunity for us to have some say over what gravitational wave follow-up and science looks like at NASA going forward. So I will post the link to the chat window right after this. But we want to get as broad a sampling as possible, both from the electromagnetic side and from the gravitational wave side. So appreciate if as many people as possible could fill this out. Thank you, Patrick.
No worries. Thanks, Brad. That's great. I'm actually going to mute you again. I did mass unmute as the person running the call, but you might want to check your phone if you do need to speak later to figure out how to unmute. Okay. With that then, Brian, I'm going to hand it over to you. And I'll let you just take it from there. I listen in for as long as I can, but then I will have to step away eventually.
Okay, thanks, Patrick. So this is a the regular presentation, I guess, for these calls. Can everybody see the shared screen?
Yep.
Okay. So this is moving. Okay, I'm going to go out of presentation mode. So we've had 38 alerts so far in O3 with 7 retractions. You can see the events on the top left plot. I should point out that for O3, these are alerts. These are not GW events yet. For O1 and O2, the 11 events are the ones that appeared in our catalog. And you can see in the bar chart, so we had some retractions in August, none so far in September, I believe, if I did the accounting right. The mean number of alerts is about, 5 per month. Not retracted, but it shouldn't surprise you if we get less or more. It also, of course, it's not purely statistical. It depends on the performance of the detectors. The cumulative duty factor for O3, so we're getting about 44% triple coincidence. We're over 80% for at least 2 interferometers are online. And all 3 interferometers are over 70%. Virgo, I think, is at 76% still duty factor for the run. And so that is going quite well. We're taking advantage of running in the summer months and the lack of hurricanes hitting Louisiana, et cetera, so that I think the disruptions have been minimal. We'll see how that evolves as we go into the more environmentally impactful winter months. And then the next slide, I'll just show that the range, this is essentially the same as what you've been seeing. The binary neutron star and spiral range for the run continues, all detectors, I think, continue to perform pretty well. So moving on, the new alerts since August, we've got quite a few since the last call like this. We've had 8 events, 3 of them. So the first 2 here on the list are and number 6, we've classified as binary black holes. So somewhat vanilla at this stage. And then we've got 2 in green, which have some significant binary neutron star probability, but perhaps not well localized. These are very, near threshold events, as you can see from the false alarm rate. And then in red, there's some NSBH/NASCAP candidates. That again, the false alarm rates for 2 of those are quite marginal. 1 is quite significant. Number 8, which is a recent one, which has this large mass gap. And I think if you look back through the agendas of earlier meetings like this, there's a nice presentation on this classification and what it means. So I'll point out that this classification for this recent event is based on a point estimate, and we're still waiting the offline PE results for a possible update on that. The retracted alerts since August, there's been 3 of them since the last time we met. And here, we've been fairly quick, I would say, in retracting these alerts. Pipeline experts and detector characterization experts looking at the noise. So 1908-16i, retraction took about 20 minutes. There was consensus that the event, that there was too much noise. It was also a pretty high false alarm rate. 1908-22c took quite a bit longer, and that's because there was a loud instrumental artifact in L1. When that was removed, there was no significant signal remaining. So that process, that gating, if you like, to remove the artifact in L1 has since been deployed to production, automatically to production. For the next event, 1908-29U, it was available and we were able to do it quicker. So the delay, I think, for that 1908-22C event was that it took quite a while to do that by hand. But for 1908-29U, we were able to do it quicker. And so the retraction there took about 26 minutes. And we expect to, you know, now that that's in progress, it may even inhibit some of these alerts from going out in the first place and remove the need for retraction. So since August 15th, quite a few events. The preliminary notice has been issued on average about 9 minutes after the event. This is with a built-in delay to allow some of the pipeline processes time to evaluate the correct preferred event, etc. The initial notice goes out approximately 36 minutes after the event on average, and the retraction on average has taken about 44 minutes, but I've given you the explicit times there for the three retractions, so you can see that's dominated by this 1908-22C event. On the next slide, so the other thing that we're looking forward to in O3 is for CAGRA to join O3. So they're commissioning, they've had some issues, but they've locked their fabric row and signal recycled Michelson in kind of the last month and a half. And so they've obtained their first sensitivity with the fabric row Michelson, but they're still quite a far away from reaching the 1 megaparsec scale binary range, so an order of megaparsecs. They're hoping still to be 8 to 25 megaparsecs sensitivity when they join O3. So on the one hand, they're quite far away. On the other hand, we've seen progress can sometimes be quite rapid. So I think they're still optimistic. They have not yet, and I could have expanded out, I guess, some of these, but DRF-PMI is the dual recycled Fabry-Perot-Michelson. Or the power recycled Fabry-Perot Michelson. So neither of those configurations to obtain the better sensitivity have been realized yet. And so they're working towards, I think, power recycling right now, or improving the basic Fabry-Perot Michelson. And so at the end, you can see several systems, vibration isolation, auxiliary optics, their digital system, and the main interferometer are now being worked on for commissioning. And they're still hoping to do some commissioning over the next month and a half, and then join O3 towards the end of this calendar year.
Since the only sort of explicit thing you list is mid-sized baffle currently, can you explain what that is in this post-commissioning phase?
I'm not an expert on what they're doing, and this is the CAGRA schedule, but that would be for stray light control, I think.
Okay.
Or to control scattered light. It's what we call them. I believe we use the same nomenclature in all these detectors.
Great, thanks.
Okay, and then finally, I'll remind everybody that the commissioning break, and I guess I should really say 1st of October to the 1st of November. So we'll go on a break at 1500 UTC on the 1st of October until 1500 UTC on the 1st of November. And so during that month, There'll be incursions into the vacuum systems at both Hanford and Livingston. Those plans have been talked about before. There's a lot of work going to be on examining optics to see if there's anything that can be done about point absorbers. There's going to be the insertion of stray light control baffles. They're doing a fiber replacement, I believe, for a squeezer at Hanford. And so, and I think, well, I don't know, I don't recall offhand, and I don't have it written here, the Virgo activities, but both Virgo and the two LIGO interferometers will be offline for the for that month. There should be a commissioning phase towards the end, and then we'll start up on the 1st of November. That's still our plan. Of course, be mindful that when we go into the vacuum, things can happen that can cause delays there, but we're really trying to stick to that 1 month schedule. With pump down, etc., that actually gives very limited time. With the requirement to pump down and to do some commissioning of new hardware, that actually gives, I think, a week or 10 days in vacuum. So it's quite an abbreviated break, even though we're offline for a month. And that's all I had about the run, if people have questions. And yes, if you look on the slide, I see Daryl had asked a question. Yes, the slides are linked, I guess, on the agenda. And they're also, I will show you, there's a public DCC link here. Okay, are there any other questions?
Well, just as I guess I'd say, you know, we EM observers have been looking strongly at a couple of the, especially the NSBH, and they're sort of marginal, and that's unfortunate. But I mean, anything that's not retracted, even if it has a pretty bad FAR, you guys are going to stand by and say it is real. That was an NSBH. Or BNS? It's just a general question.
So I think for the low latency, if we don't find a reason to retract and it satisfies our pre-established criteria, for example, the false alarm threshold, then yes, we in a sense stand by that event. And there's a further analysis from like offline parameter estimation that may change the classification of the event. You know, as you've seen already, it can lead to an improved sky map. It can also lead to a change in classification. That's still in progress for some of these events. But yes, there is I would say as the time from the event goes forward, it's less likely that we're going to retract it. We do try to do the retractions as promptly as possible when we see the need to retract, so that we don't waste observer time.
Right. Okay, let's cross our fingers for something closer soon. Thanks.
All right. Okay, so if there's no further questions, I think on the agenda, I'd like to point out that I'm not sure that this actually went out on the mailing list, so I'll link it here. It's also on the agenda. We've updated the what we call the observing scenarios document. There's still, it has not yet been submitted to the journal. There's some small tweaks to the numbers that should happen this week, and a few other minor things. But for many of you, the important thing, which we already publicized in the summary document, which is also linked to the agenda, is our expected timeline for observing over the next few years and our sensitivities. and of course things like localization and expected detection rates. David, I notice, did you receive any questions or ideas, you or Alessio, on the scope in the agenda? I noticed there's a note in the agenda.
No, there have been no questions to me, so I think we're all quiet on that front. Thank you.
For low
Allow me, though. I'm not looking at the agenda at this moment, but it probably comes up a bit later on. We do want to encourage folks who've got ideas from the LVM community who want to spend 5 or 10 minutes talking about either a pet idea that people should know about or something else related to the interaction between gravitational waves and electromagnetic or particle detections to drop a line to the spokespersons. We'll set up a time for you to address the group here. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, David. From the point of view of low latency alerts, there's a link here to invite feedback, as David mentions. Oh, and I see Leo. Sorry, I didn't notice your hand up. Leo, do you want to talk about the user guide and perhaps the low latency alert stuff?
I just raised my hand to say that the rates and localization numbers, at least for compact binaries, in the observing scenarios document will also be available in the public alerts user guide, and the FITS files will be there as well, or the simulated FITS files.
All right.
I don't know if we reached the point in the agenda for the user guide updates.
Yeah, I don't see it explicitly called out, but I think this is a good place to talk about that.
Okay, well, the most important change is that the people had noted that the FITS files that we send out, sometimes we send two different FITS files that have the same name, and that was confusing. And so now the FITS files have a version suffix to make them unique. And so the user guide describes that, or the updated version of the user guide, version 11, describes that version convention.
And that's the version that's currently available?
Yes, version 11.
And did you want to say anything about the upcoming version 12, I guess?
Oh, I think I did. Version 12 will have the localization rate stuff in it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any questions? Maybe a few other things. Leo mentioned one of the things that happened over the course of the last month, but something that, you've walked through the lineup of events that is collected over the last month. We have switched to the machine learning based algorithm for the DST LAL events when it comes to the source properties identification, EM Bright, and has neutron star. So GSTL uses the machine learning based algorithm. Of course, the rest of the methods, they use the mass point estimates for that. And then, of course, we switched to fixing the file name / URL that we make available through for the sky maps that Leo mentioned, and the auto-gating for GSTL events that was not in place until recently. I think beyond that, what's worth probably mentioning is that this break that's coming up over the course of October, with OO3B starting in November, it's going to be a month that we're going to be working on some things on the low latency front. Anything from, for example, processing the individual events that are coming in real time, out of which we have to identify preferred events, if you use the notion of super event that we've used until now, and we're going to try to optimize the process and make it get closer to real time than the present few minutes that you've summarized and we've had until now. At the same time, though, it is a good opportunity for people who have received those alerts and they're using those alerts to undertake observations to get back with any feedback they have, either general or specific issues, any feedback that we'll consider and discuss and take action accordingly. But this month, as I said, is going to be a month of preparing for O3B with some changes that we have in our to-do list, and we would very much like to hear from the community as a whole on what they would like to see fixed or anything that stood out altogether in O3 until now. So I think that's all with respect to changes at the level of the low latency infrastructure over the last month.
Thank you, Eric. I wanted to ask if anybody from Virgo wanted to say anything about their commissioning break plans. Oh, I'm sorry. I see Yair had a hand up.
Yeah, I don't know if... So is this regarding what Leo said before about the FITS file names? Because we were having some trouble with that. Are the file names now constant? So if I ingest an alert from 3 days ago, it'll point me to the correct file, or will it point me to the file that got overridden after a subsequent alert was sent?
There are permanent file names. So GraceDB has always had a feature that if you have multiple file names or multiple files with the same name, so for instance, multiple files called basestar.fits.gz, they get assigned version numbers in sequence, and you can retrieve the version number that you want by appending a comma and then the version number. So for example, the first file of that name will always be called basestar.fits.gz, 0. The second version of that file will always be called basestar.fits.gz, 1, so on and so forth. With that, if you leave off the version suffix, just basestar.fits.gz, that's a that redirects to the latest version. That has been the case for years. What's different now is that instead of putting, is that the GCN notices, instead of saying basestar.fits.gz, they say basestar.fits.gz, 0, basestar.fits.gz, 1, so on and so forth.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on the low latency update? So there's a question from Heinz Bernd Eggenstein. Eric, do you want to, I can say that the sub-threshold event from Fermi that we announced before has not been encoded as a formal procedure for us. It would be, would still be an exceptional event, and I'm not sure we would do things quite the same way. But Eric, do you want to say, or Sean or Leo, to Heinz Burns' question?
The sub-threshold event, I guess, both for Fermi and LIGO-Virgo, has been an exceptional case that we're not prepared to handle it. Whether it's going to happen again in the same way, well, we're working on setting up a procedure that is going to make that's going to give us the ability to handle it in a more proper way. That's going to allow the event to be reported in GHDB and communicated accordingly. But as it is, it turned out to have been a very ad hoc way of processing an event that came out from let's say somebody looking close at the data as they were coming in. If you're asking, I haven't read the Hans Berns question, but if something were to happen at this very moment that we feel that needs to be communicated, we don't have all the tools in place at this very moment in order to do something else other than what we did on that night or day, depending where you were. But the collaboration, I think, is discussing all in all and is reviewing all in all how the details of analysis like that are looking to sub-threshold events in both the EM side as well as on gravitational wave events, how to proceed and how to communicate events.
Hans Berndt, do you want to read your question or speak your question aloud so that it'll be on the recording? Plus, maybe not everyone can see it in chat. Or if you're not able to speak, I can read it.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my question is not limited to sub-threshold events. So if something would happen like GW170817, where simultaneously with the GW event, we have a sky localization also from, some gamma ray or neutrino or whatever EM event, then that would immediately result in a combined sky map, which would be more valuable than just the sky map from the GW analysis. And the question is, how would that be communicated? Would that also be stored in GraceDB and communicated via notices so that it will be picked up automatically by processes listening to GCN notices, or would that be more manual via circulars? Thanks.
I see. Of course, for events that are communicated via a GCN, we have processes that listen to GCNs from Fermi and Swift, and the analysis takes place in order to combine significance of events and do the sky map analysis that you suggest. Now, as it is right now, the process is not fully automated in order to generate those things on the fly and with zero latency. This is going to be something that we're going to have in place. There is a pipeline with the name of Raven that effectively looks for GCN notices, at least on Fermi, Swift. We'll probably have Integral. We have also, of course, SNews, and calculates combined probabilities, combined sky maps, and makes that part of the communication that we send out. But we will be sending out fully automated. But again, if this were to happen tonight, probably there has to be a human that is going to generate, we're going to send those things out. It's going to be human-driven, maybe tonight. However, there has been significant progress, and many aspects of that, let me use the word Raven, because this is the name of the pipeline that we use for that. There are many aspects of this pipeline that are already in place. They are already listening to those GCNs. They are already forming these coincidences and tag or flag or label those coincidences accordingly. And so the next step that we expect to have in fully operational by O3B is that upon that occurrence to send out GCN notices that identify such coincidences and do have the sky maps circulated accordingly, namely after their combination of them.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Okay. Are there any other questions related to the low latency procedure or the updates that we're talking about? Okay, then. Moving on, a little section on the agenda for planned publications. Based on 03, Peter Sean, are you still online? I think Peter maybe dropped off. I was going to ask him if he wanted to speak to this, but there's a S19-04-25Z that's got a paper and presentation, and we're expecting, what does it say in the agenda, a release target in October, and then 19-05-21G later in 2019 or early 2020. Those are, I guess, the two plans that we're talking about right now. And then the transient catalog based on 03A is planned for April 2020. That's our target. Are there questions about those?
Could you just remind me what's special about those two events that those ones are getting the papers out?
The 19-04-25Z is I think it's a BNS candidate.
Uh-huh.
And then 19-05-21G, let me remind myself so I don't say the wrong thing.
Might have been the first NSBH or something.
It's a interesting BBH event, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody wants to say more about either of those. I don't know.
I don't think we can say more.
Yeah. I'm being careful about what I say, I guess.
I just wonder why it's especially interesting. I don't think that one was one of the closest BBHs or anything, but anyway, it's okay. I just was curious.
Yeah. Danielle asks, can you remind me of if you have any specific plans for publication for S19-08-14BV? So we are looking at this event, and there's a team making a science case or looking at the science case. I was not at the CBC call where this was discussed, and so I don't know if there's an official update on that yet, but yes, we are looking at it. Giovanni, I see Giovanni is on. Do you want to say anything either about the publication plan or?
Hi, sorry. On that event, the CBC group was still with the science case open, not yet proposing a final decision on a possible dedicated publication. So I think that we will discuss this next Friday in that call again.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the other items here on the agenda are the list of conferences. So a request, please let us know if there's any meetings that should be on our radar and are not, that we'd like more participation from the GW community. And then I think this link at the end on general questions, ideas, you can email the spokespersons and their email addresses are there at the bottom of the agenda. So that's the end of the formal agenda that's been posted. Are there any other questions that weren't covered or things people wanted to discuss that didn't make it on the agenda? Okay, I don't see any hands up or people speaking. So I think I'll, if that's it, I think I'll close the meeting. I think we expect to have another meeting like this in October, where hopefully we'll be progressing on this commissioning break and looking forward to restarting on November 1st. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. And here's hoping for a close event.
Yeah.